Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Ayin. We're holding the top line on the Omid, where the Gemara begins, Geiri v'charuri. As we learned already yesterday, at the beginning of our parak, Asori Yochsin Olu Mibavel, there were 10 categories of Jews that came up from Bavel in the times of Ezra and Nehemiah, and the Mishnah enumerated all 10, Kihani, Levi, Yisraeli, Chaloli, Geiri, Charuri, etc. And yesterday we already brought Mekoyrois sources in Tanakh. How do we know that Kahanim, Levim, Yisraelim came up to Eretz Yisrael as well as Chalolim? And now we're continuing further. How do we know that Geiri v'Charuri, these two categories of Jews, also came up together with Ezra? Charuri, as you know, means a former Eved that was Meshuchrar, and then he took upon himself all the dinim of Geiris, and therefore he is another form of a Ger. As Geir v'Charuri, Minolan, how do I know? Rav Chizkiya Makra, it says in the Pasuk, Kol ha'nivdal mitumas goyei ha'aretz aleihem. That Pasuk is talking about bringing the Korban Pesach, and if you have the Torah or HaSholem Aleph, it says, Vayoichlu b'nei Yisrael ha'shovim mi'ha'goyla, those people that return from Golus into Eretz Yisrael, they ate from the Korban Pesach, v'choyl ha'nivdal mitumas goyei ha'aretz aleihem. Not only did they, the B'nai Yisrael, but also those that had separated themselves from the Tumas HaGoyim. What does that mean, that you separate yourself from Tumas HaGoyim? That means that they took upon themselves Geiris. How do I know not only Geirim, but also Charuri? Say the Mephoshim by the fact that it says, V'chol ha'nivdo mitumas goyi aret. V'chol comes to include not only the regular Geirim, but also those Geirim that were originally Avodim, that became Avodim Mishuchrar. And we continue now. How do we know that Mamzerim came up at that time together with Ezra? Minolan, it says in the Pasuk. Vayishma Sanbalat Acharoini B'toivya Eved. Once again, we have the benefit of Torah or Ashole. So if you want to try to pronounce the words correctly, Vayishma Sanbalat Acharoini B'toivya Ho Eved Ho Amoini V'Geshem Ho Arvi Vayilagulonu vayivzu aleinu vayoyimru mu'adavar azasher atem oisim ha'al ha'melech atem mordim. Yeah, in the Gemara. Because the Gemara...
I'm sorry.
Nothing happened, but we still love you. Because the Gemara is now quoting Pasuk Gimel, the third Pasuk, right? The Gemara just quotes the first half of the Pasuk Beis and then goes straight into Pasuk Gimel. Right? Anyway, what do I see from Pasuk Beis? That there's someone by the name of Toivia, who was an Eved Amoini. He originally came from Amoin, and he became an Eved. And what does it say about him? So now we get to the next pasuk, to which Brother Barry was referring to. Uksiv ki rabim b'Yehuda, ba'alei shvua loy. Many people were indebted to him, to Toivia. Apparently he was a person that was in business or did toivis, and so therefore a lot of people were in his confidence, so to speak. Ki chosen hu, he was the Edom means the son-in-law, b'shchanya ben Orach, to the Shechenya ben Orach. Shechenya was a Jew, and he was an Eved who was married to the daughter of this Jewish person. That's how he became the son-in-law. V'hoichonon benoi, V'hoichonon is a son of Toivia, ho Eved. He also lokach as Bas Meshulam ben Barachia. Meshulam again is Ayid, and so therefore we have now two, in case of Toivia, Eved, and Eved. In the case of his son, Hoichanan, presumably also an Eved. What's the din by both of them? They both went and married the daughters of Jewish people, and therefore, assuming that they produced children, those children would have been Mamzerim, as Igmar explains momentarily. Yes, don't be nervous. You'll see in a moment. So again, the reason why we bring the first Pasuk is to identify who the person is in the second Pasuk, that Ram Yehuda Bali Shvuoloi, who was that Toivia Eved, and he, Toivia, was an Edom, he was a son-in-law, Kichosan Hulishchanya ben Aroch, Vihoichemenoi, and the son of Toivia, Lokechesbas Meshulam ben Brachia, also married a Jewish girl. And therefore, what's the issue? Says the Gemara Kosova, our Mishnah holds that Oivik Kichom the Eved, here we're talking about Avodim, meaning at the very least Toivia, he was an Eved. Habo al Bas Yisrael that marries a Jewish girl. You hear, Brother Bill? You have an Eved that married a Jewish girl. Havlad Mamzer. The child is a Mamzer. So therefore, these two produce Mamzerim. And very, very likely that he, Yehoichonim Benoi, was already a Mamzer because he was the product of the Toiviho Eved together with the daughter of Shechaniah. So he would have been, presumably, if that is the son of this marriage, he would have been a mamzer. And any other mamzerim that they may have produced. So I see now that the mamzerim that came up in the times of Ezra. Now the Gemara asks a series of kashis on this proof. Number one, not everybody holds that when you have an Eved, or for that matter, a non-Jew, marrying a Jewish girl, that they produce a mamzer. Many others hold a Vlad Kosher. And Brother Shai is already looking at the Aleph next to Vlad Kosher to tell you that probably the Halacha, that's the Ein Mishpat, citing the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. And we know that that's the Halacha today, Ma'asim B'chol Yom Laida, or B'chol Laila, that you have not avodim, but you have goyim that go and marry Jewish girls, and they produce children. Those children, Baruch Hashem, all ksherim. They're not miyuchasim, nevertheless, but they're all ksherim because of the fact that the mother is Jewish. However, our Mishnah, at least according to the Havamina, holds the Vlad Mamzer, and therefore I have a raya that Mamzerim came up at the times of Ezra. But the Gemara says that's only according to the other Mandiyama. What about the Mandiyama that holds the Vlad Kosher? Mayikal Meimer, how do I know that there were Mamzerim that came up with Ezra? Vesu, and Nocha Kasha, Mi Mai Davul Iboni, who says that they had children? In other words, both Tevia and Yehoichonon, who married these Goyish, the other way around. They married the Jewish women. How do we know that they had children from them, that they produced Mamzerim? Maybe both of them were childless. Are you going to say he had a son via Yechonon? Yechonon could have been from another marriage, from someone else. And if they didn't have any children, then you have no right to do a Mamzerim that came up with Ezra. This is not Hakash. How do we know that Tevia and Yehoichonon came up at the times of Ezra? Maybe they were there already from before. Now, what does that mean, from before? Because at the times of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, although the vast majority of all Jews, unfortunately, were taken away into Chutz La'aretz, into Golis, there was apparently still a minyan remaining there in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. And, frankly, more, maybe Tevia was one of them. And therefore, how do I know that even if he did have children from the... even if, it's not only Tevia, but Tevia's wife. Tevia was an Eved. So Tevia's wife, maybe she was already there from the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, or they were descendants of those that stayed in Eretz Yisrael at the times of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, how do I know that they came up together with Ezra? Maybe they were there because they were there. So, Vaita, I don't know that either. To Mohasim Havah. Elami Acha says, Yimara, you know, you're 100% right. Let's put that raya on the side. It's not a conclusive, clear-cut raya. And therefore, we're going to bring a raya from another pasuk. El Mihach. The Eloh Oilam. The following came up together with Ezra from the following communities. They came from Tel Melach. They came from Tel Charsha. From Kruv, Adoin, the Imar. Lo Yochul, the Hagid, Beis Avoisam, the Zaram, Im Yisrael Haim. Unfortunately, because of the terrible assimilation, we were not able to identify these Olim, whether they were even Jewish. Who knows? Maybe they were Goyim. There was so much intermarriage, Nebuch, in those places. Zok Timor, how do I see from this that we're talking about Mamzerim? Zok Timor, Haim Tel Melach, what does that mean? I'm sorry, Bistrol Haim, period. What means Tel Melech? Tel Melech is referring to Eilu B'nei Odom Shedoyim Ma'aseim L'Masi Sedoyim Shenepcha L'Tel Melech. That means that these are people that, unfortunately, their mass and their actions were similar to the actions of Sedoim, who ultimately all turned into piles of melach. Kofres ma'melach, Tzreifu Chalarza. We all know what happened to the Eishes Loit, that she became a pillar of salt. Anyway, what is the mass of Sedoim that the Gemara is referring to? So if you look at the Rashi on the fourth line from the very top, the mass of Sedoim show you Megali Aroyes. So therefore, we're talking about therefore a people that were a Megali Aroyas, and therefore they produced Mamzerim. The Rashi even cites from the Gemara in Chelik, we're reading Chelik, to Mochi li Itza the Chavri Umapila. Person would go over to the pregnant wife of someone else and give her a push, give her a patch or whatever, and unfortunately she would be mapple, she would go and have a miscarriage. Omelet hevi gaboch, ad me'ebra, Harmamzerim legabi Yisrael. He said, you keep it until she becomes Mubaris, presumably with me. In other words, he took away the other guy's wife, and they produced Mamzerim. So the point is that Tel Melach is referring to the people in Sidoim, where people acting like the people in Sidoim that produced Mamzerim, and they, the Sodomites, eventually became all full like a shtick, salt. And that's what the reference is to over here. So we know that Mamzerim came in because of Tel Melach. So this we already had in the Mishnah yesterday. This is what we call a shtuki. What's a shtuki? A shtuki is that a mother that walks around with a child, and everybody asks the mother, who is the father? And, or even the child himself asks the mother, who is my tati, who is my abba? And she goes, shh, shh, shh. Meaning, don't ask so many questions, because this is a quiet matter. Nobody knows who the father is. Even she doesn't know who the father is, because unfortunately she lived with so many men, it could be from A to Z, from 1 to 100, who knows. So therefore it's a suffix mamzer, and that's why the Gemara called it a shtuki. So here cheresh is from a lashon of cheresh. Cheresh means a person who's deaf, and therefore she is saying, shh, shh, quiet, don't talk about it, we're going to keep a deafening sound on your issue. Macha shvaig. Oh, very good. This is referring to Asufi. We had this in the Mishnah already yesterday as well. Asufi means that you ever hear from time to time on the radio or whatever that they found in the Grand Central Station or a train station somewhere.
Foundling.
That they found a child with a wrapped in a blanket, and they have no idea who the father is or the mother is. They just deposited there, sometimes at the police station or sometimes the post office. Who knows where they deposit them, and they just put them down, and nobody has any idea what the father is, nobody knows any idea what the mother is. And that's what is called an asufi. So you're saying that from this pasuk we see that all three categories, we have the mamzerim came, those are the tel melech people, the tel charsha, those are the shtuki people, that's referring to the asufi. So nevertheless, those three categories also came down together with Ezra. Right, the pasuk continues on. So asufi shenefs minashok. Then the pasuk continues on. Kruv adoim v'imar. So pasuk pshat is that these are three places or three sections in Tel Charsha, and the Gemara however darshins ibederach drush umar bavo umar adoin. The adoin is not the name of a place. It's referring to the Rabbi Shalom. The imar we're reading as if it's umar adoin. The Rabbi Shalom says, ani umar to you Yisrael lefanei chashuvim kekruv. I wanted the Klal Yisrael should be exalted and elevated like a kruv. Rashi says kruv reminds us of the Chayis HaKodesh, that their faces were Pnei HaKruv. If you look at the Rashi, kekruv, Rashi is about 6-7 lines higher than our Gemara. Kekruv kedoshim kekruvei HaKodesh, kechayis HaKodesh, techsevei Pnei HaKruv. So therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I wanted my Gidin Klal Yisrael should be exalted like Malachim, like Chayis HaKodesh. Ve'im sabu atzman, Kinomer, and instead they made themselves like a nomer. Says Rashi, nomer is, of course, in English, a leopard. Leopards apparently don't care about who their shidduch is. They didn't have to run to shadchanim. The nomers, they live with anybody, they procreate with anyone, so they're all mamzer. Ikriyami, there's another version of this Rebavohu, also talking about Odoin and Kruv and Nomer, however, just the opposite. Ikriyami Omer Bavo, Omer Adoin, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Avapi Shesamu Atzmam Kinomer, even though unfortunately many of my Jews, many of my Kindalach, are acting like Nomers, which means that Nebuch, they are living with people that they're not allowed to live with, in Megali Aroyas, producing Nebuch Mamzerim and all the rest. However, in Chashum Lefanai Kikrov, nevertheless, they're still Bonaihem, they're still my children, and I'm not going to reject them, I'm going to keep them as my Mishpach, as my Kindlech.
So is Imer Doshin for Amar or for Namer?
That's a very good question. I think the Gemara is using it for both. The Imar is being used for Omer Adoin, and although the word Imar doesn't have a Nun in it, it just has the membrane in it, how does the Gemara come to Nomer? So it's the Marsho that says that the word directly before that was Kruv Adoin v'Imar. So you take the Nun of the Adoin and you paste it onto the Mar, and that's how you get the Namer. But it's basically, you're right, and it's being used for two purposes in this drasha. Now, since we spoke about people who are marrying people that are not, who are psulim, we're going to, and we also brought this to the Pasuk by the Tel Melach, the Gemara has a similar drasha. Person who marries a woman that's not hygienislai, Parshim Shad hygienislai means she's not worthy of him, she's not appropriate for him. However, the way the Rashi learns Pshad is hygienislai means that there's some sort of psul in this woman. The Gemara doesn't identify the psul, doesn't have to necessarily be a mamzeres. We could be talking about, for instance, Isurei Kahuna, a chalala, a zoina, a grusha, and therefore the husband, ain't hygienis loy, she's not going to marry him. In any one of those cases, what's it in? Malo v'kosev, ki ilu chorshel kol olam kuloi v'zorei melech. Because Baruch Hu says, it's as if they were chorish kol olam. The word chorish over here means to go and plow the world. Not like we said before, that the word chorish or charsha was like that the person who's deaf. Here we're talking about it's like plowing the world, kulay, v'zorei melech, and then planting it with melech, with salt. Shnema, ve'elo oilem mitel melech, tel charsha, the same pasuk that we had before, melech and charsha, you do the charisha, and you pour on the melech. What does one thing have to do with the other? Because if you own a field, and instead of pouring onto the field seeds of fruits or vegetables to go and grow, what are you going to do? You're going to pour on melech. Nothing is going to grow. You're just going to ruin the whole field because you can't go and grow salt. So therefore, a person who marries an Isha Shein Geneslai and produces further psulim, whether they're mamzerim, whether they're chalolim, whatever, so instead of producing fine erlecha yiddisha kinder, good produce, he's bringing up produce which is all inferior and deficient.
It's fertile. The Romans, where they wanted to, when they destroyed Carthage, they poured salt over there as a sign it should be infertile, it should never regenerate.
Beautiful. Good. So that's the plot. You see, Ariel, I'm expecting you to go and say something along those lines.
I don't need to stage every time. You know,
you don't want to upstage others. That's so thoughtful of you. Good. Person who marries an Isha Shemamain, that doesn't mean solely for purposes of money. Once again, it's referring to an Isha Shein Hoygenislai, a person that has various psula yichus, and he's willing to go and look to the side and say, I don't really care, because the important thing is that she has tons of Yira Shemayim, lots of Yira Shemayim. So therefore, Kol Noyis the Isha Shemamain, Havin Loi Banim Shein Muganim, then the children, Chas V'Sholem, are not going to work out. Shenem, like said in the pasuk, Hashem Bagodu ki vonim zorim yolodu. So, what's the lashon of vonim zorim? So, Rashi says about the zorim, vonim zorim. Rashi about 6-7 lines higher. Meisha psuloi. Again, we're talking about not stam l'shem mamay. He married someone who's possible for him. Or l'shem mamay nas, but he married her for the money. Kim saim kra yoichlim choydish es chalkeim. Mamay shenasa l'shmoi yoichlim choydish echad. Oh, so Rashi is already telling us the rest of the Gemara. So, getting back to the Gemara. So in other words, the person, the Isha, is ein hygienis loy, she has some sort of psul yuchsin, therefore he should not be marrying her. If he marries her anyway because of the money, number one, the children are going to be banim zarim, banim she'enim u'ganim, in other words, a bunch of shkotzim l'moshel, they're not going to be fine attire yidin, shenem b'shem b'godu, because they made this begida, this, they were acting like traitors, by marriage which was shaloi l'shem shemayim, not because of the psul yuchsin, is kibonim zorim yelodu, they're going to have such bonim zorim, children that are not muhuganim. V'shem atoima, at least you're going to go and say to yourself, no, mamayla the kinder, but momayn, at least I'm going to have, momayn palat, I'll be able to at least have money. Okay, I'm not going to have good kids, but at least I'll be a wealthy person. Talmaloima, the pasuk continues on, ata yoichlem choydish es chalkehem. In 1 month, the entire chelik is going to be eaten up, like the Gemara explains. V'shem atoima chalkoi, v'loi chalka. Maybe only his chedek and not her chedek. Now, what does it mean, his chedek and her chedek, says Rashi? Because as we've learned many times in the Sechtes Ksubis and elsewhere, when a person gets married, he gets two portions from his wife. The chosim that she brings into the marriage. You have what's called nechsei mulug and nechsei tzoyim barzo. So the nechsei tzoyim barzo become his. In fact, inside the Ksuba itself, one writes that the nechsei tzoyim barzo she brought is worth, l'moshel, $100,000. And therefore, if Chas V'Sholem, this marriage terminates, I, the chosin, will pay her back the $100,000, the assessed value of the nechsi tzayin ba'ez. As far as the nechsi malug is concerned, those nechosim continue to belong to her for the rest of their marriage, and all he receives from it on the payrois on a regular basis, all the income that is produced. So therefore, the chalkoi, says Rashi, is referring to the nechsi tzayin ba'ezel, which is, he bought it, so to speak, because he's going to go and give her the full value if and when this marriage ends. Chalko is referring to the nechsim alug, which belongs to her, even though he gets the payres. So, says the Gemara, we said that a person who marries a woman with psulei yichus, and he does l'shemamayin, not only is he going to have bad kids, he's also going to lose the money that he hopes to accomplish through this marriage. Which money are we talking about? B'shem atzim chalko, he's only going to lose the nechsi tzayin ba'ezel, following chalko and not the nechsim alug, tamalei mechalkehem. Both of their chalokim, everything will be lost. Okay, but it's only going to happen after 20 years. Slowly but surely, the market will go down. They'll make some bad business decisions. No. In 1 month, the whole thing can be wiped out. All of the fortune that he thought he was going to have as a result of marrying this one. Pray tomorrow, my mashma. What do you see? This is the pasuk. Renach bar Yitzchak. Chodesh nechmas. V'chodesh yotze or yetze. Mamoinam ovad. 1 month comes in. The month goes out. And by that time, the money has already all been spent or lost or whatever. So at the Yoichum Chodesh Chalkeim, in 1 month, they could lose everything.
What is that?
No, he's just explaining what does it mean when we say then Chodesh. Chodesh means a new month arrives. It's Rosh Chodesh. By the end of the month, unfortunately, he finds that he has no money left. A person who marries a woman that is possible to him, then kaviyochel, what happens is, Eliyo goes and ties him down, like when a chas v'shalom, a person gets malchus in Bezdin, they tie him down so he shouldn't flee in machapleta. Kodesh Baruch is the one that administers the malchus. Betona, we learned in the Brayis, al kulam Eliyo koisve, Kodesh Baruch Hu choisem. About each one of them, Eliyo writes and Kodesh Baruch Hu signs. Woe is to the person that passels his zera, in other words, he causes that his children should have a psul yichus, they should be a pegam in the mishpacha, a blemish. He marries someone that is not fit for him. Again, says Rashi, psuloi, that there is a psul in the yuchs, and he had no right to go and marry. Like we had before. Now, when you find that there's a person who is poisel means that he speaks badly about other families, and he says, those guys, he says all types of wonderful things, b'loshin sagi nohar, about other people. He himself is poisel. The einoy medaber shvachle oilam. He, unfortunately, his derech is never to speak positively and nicely about others. Meaning, if you have a person that's constantly saying about others that they are X, Y, and Z, so Shmuel, the simon is that he himself is X, Y, and Z. So if he says about others, for instance, that they happen to be mamzerim, that means he himself is a mamzer.
Rejection.
If he says about others that they are avodim, that means that he himself is an eved. So kol ha-poisel, whoever passels others and speaks poorly about other people and says that they happen to be l'moshel ganovim, that means he himself is a ganov. And he'll never speak nicely about people because that's unfortunately his character. And says Shmuel b'mumay poisel, when he passels others, he's talking passeling based on his own mum, his own default. So he's a ganav. He says other people ganav me. He says other people rotzchem. That means he's rotzer. Okay, now the Gemara is going to bring a story, and this is a fairly long story. We had parts of it already earlier on in other mesechtes. Says Gemara, who gavid min erdor the old bein mitpachai b'pumbedisa. Excuse me, the person that came from Ne'edor, and he wanted to go and buy meat, and he went to the butcher store in Pumbedisa. Why didn't go in Ne'edor? I don't know. Maybe he was a tourist. Anyway, bottom line is he buying meat in a butcher store in Pumbedisa. Omluhus, he goes to the front of the line. He says, Holy Misra, give me some meat. Omrulein, they told him, Netar, wait your turn. Netar ad the shock of the shamed of Yehuda bar Cheskel. You see this person who's now being served. This is the shamis. This is the assistant to Rabbi Yehuda bar Yecheskel. Whenever you find throughout Shas Rav Yehuda, not Rebbe Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, who was a Talmud first of Rav and subsequently of Shmuel when Rav passed away. Rav Yehuda is brought throughout Shas numerous times. Yeah, so Rav Yehuda's father's name is Yecheskel, and therefore, as you can expect, his name was Rav Yehuda bar Yecheskel. Anyway, so the butcher, the head of the butcher store, said to this fellow, this rude fellow from Nerda, he said, wait your turn, after Shams of Yehuda by Yecheskel is done, you'll be next online. B'nai Salach, we'll give you. Omar, so now this fellow said with chutzpah, man Yehuda bar Shviskel, who is this Shviskel guy, who are you talking about? Now, what means Shviskel? So Rashi says Shviskel means, the word Shvisik itself means tzli. That means a food or meat that you roast on coals, like a barbecue, or roast like roast beef or something like that. And Shviskel means that this person, the word Shviskel would be used to say a gargaron. A gargaron is a glutton. A person who loves to eat, and especially loves to go and eat, roasted meat and things of that sort. And so therefore, this fellow was speaking poorly about Rav Yehuda by Yecheskel, who says, who is that Rav Yehuda, the son of the glutton that the Kodim Li that is in front of me?
So it's a disparaging remark.
It's about as disparaging as you can get.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. You really understand this so well. I'm very impressed, Ariel. Anyway, the Kodim Li who's in front of me, the Shokelman Kamoi that is taking before me. Anyway, obviously he spoke with great disrespect to the Shamiz. When the Shamiz came back to Rav Yehuda and he reported, did you hear about this fellow came from Nador? You know what he did to me? He made you and me look like a bunch of nobodies. Also, Amalei Rav Yehuda said, he told Rav Yehuda this story. Shamta, he put him in Chayrim. The reason why he put him in Chayrim, says Rashi, because we learned back in Moed Katan that a person who is not Mechabed the Rav, that person you go and put in Chayrim. And you don't have to have somebody else put him in Chayrim. Even that Rav himself that was shamed or humiliated by that individual, he himself can put him in Chayrim. Okay, so he put him in Chayrim. Then subsequently, they told him, Rogel Dekari Inchi Avdi. He is a Rogel. He frequently refers to other people as Avodim. When they told this to Rav Yehuda, now he added to the excommunication, the Chayrim, Achas Aleidi Avdehu, that fellow himself must be an Eved. Now you understand why we're bringing this story, because it's going to bring a raya from Shmuel, Kalapoisel, the Mumai Poisel. If he's calling other people of Adam, it's a symbol that he himself happens to be a slave and Eved. But till we get to that, we're going to go to the Amud Beis, because it's going to be a fairly long, lengthy story. Very interesting story, but a lengthy story. Ozlahu, Azmanei Ledina Lekamedram Nachman. So you see where a machitz of this fellow is. He now took the Rav, meaning Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel, and he called him as a defendant in a litigation in front of Rav Nachman. Aisu Piska de Hazmana, they sent him a summons from the Beis Din. Oz Rav Yehuda Lekamed Rav Huna. Rav Yehuda was now baffled. In his life, he apparently had never been called to a Din Torah, and not as the defendant, he probably
was dying
himself, but he had to be called to a Din Torah. So he went to ask Rav Huna, who apparently was senior to Rav Yehuda, and he asked him, what do you think? Omalei Ezeloi, as should I go, should not go? Omalei, he said, Mezeloi Tiboy Lech Lemezel. Mitzat Ikra, did you do not have to go? Why? Because you're a much greater Talmud Chochem than Rav Nachman, and so therefore, if anybody wants a Din Torah, Rav Nachman should come to you. Not that you should have to go in front of Rav Nachman. You're a greater scholar, a greater Talmud Chochem than Rav Nachman. Yes.
But isn't that bad optics? It shows that great people are above the law.
Yeah, they are above the law.
Tzadik, we're not finished yet. It's a long story. We're going to talk about it in much greater detail. But in the meantime, he says, Gavar Abbat, you are not responsible. You don't have to go. You are not subject to the jurisdiction of that peasant, which is inferior to you. Ella, Mishem Yaakov ben Asiyah Kumzel. After all, Rav Nachman is the son-in-law of the Reish Kalusa, and so therefore of the Nasi of the whole region, the political leader. If you're not going to go in front of this peasant, people will say it's an affront, not only to Rav Nachman, but to his exalted status of being part of what was at that time royalty.
The royal cart.
The royal cart, the exilarch, exactly. So, also, he went, so now we're going to find that Rav Yehuda was very resentful about the fact that Rav Nachman called him to a Din Torah in front of him. And as we'll see, he's going to, if you will, in Yiddish they say, he's going to chepper with him a little bit, as you'll see. So he found that Rav Nachman was making a makkah. As you know, makkah means making a fence around the roof. For sisa makkah l'gagecha. Omalei! So he, Rav Yehuda said now to Rav Nachman, "Leisov lamar lehadi om Rav Huna bar Idi om Rav Shmuel." Don't you know the famous halacha of Shmuel that kivish nesmana odem parnas alatziba? When a person is appointed to be a parnas, parnas doesn't only mean a wealthy individual who is mefarnas, who gives money to others, but parnas means a leader, a manhig al hatzibur. Oser basiyus malach b'fnei shloisha is not allowed to go and do menial type of work in front of three people, because that will take away from his authority. If you look at the Rashi, the second wide line down below, it's an embarrassment. Can you imagine people are waiting online because of this person who's a great individual? Everybody are shvelim, are subservient to that individual. And he himself, when he needs to go and put up a fence on top of his roof, he can't go and call some contractor or some worker. He has to do it himself. It's a bizoyon. You shouldn't be allowing that. Omalei, so he, Rav Nachman, answered, "I'm not making a big, you know, Chinese wall, a Mexican wall. Port into Gundrisa who decovid. I'm just making a clean chic, a fence. Gunish, not really a nothing." Omalei, so Rav Yehuda said now to Rav Nachman, "Misanye ma'ke dechsib b'yaraisa mechita d'omer rabbanan." Why do you speak in such a second class way? You use the term gundrisa. Why don't you go and use either term ma'ke like you find in the Torah, or mechita like you find in Chazal? What do you use the term gundrisa for? Omalei. So now Rav Nachman did not respond, but instead welcomed his guest and he told him, "Yosemar ar karfita. Why don't you sit down here on the bench?" Why don't you use the normal rabbinic nomenclature, the normal word, safsal, which is a bench, or itzudamrienchi, or the popular term that people use in the street, which is an itzduba? Why do you use this word, akarfita? Omalei, so he tells them, lechel mar esroing, I'd like to go and serve you some esrik to eat. Omalei, hachi amashmul, kol oimer esroing, whoever uses the term esroing, tiltza peromis rucha, that means a third of him is arrogant. It's a third of arrogance. What does that mean, a third of arrogance, right? That's a very strange term. See Rashi, fourth line, Tiltzibram is Rucha. End of the line, Mitoich, onto the fifth line, Mitoich, Sheshlish Ruchai Gasa, Hu Mishana B'Diburai. Because a third of his Ruach is Gas. In other words, he's not totally arrogant, he's only a third arrogant. That's why he talks like that. So now, the Marsha says that each individual, when it comes to arrogance, there are three parts to it. One part is masa, the way he acts. Another part, third is the way he talks. And another way, the way he walks. Okay, so his actions, his walking, and his talking. Thank you. So therefore, the other actions of Rav Nachman apparently did not smell from arrogance. But the way you talk, that you speak in such a strange way that people shouldn't understand you, or that not the normal way, that shows that you consider yourself to be exalted more than all the other people, and that's why you can go and talk with these code words that other people don't understand. And so therefore, he was a little bit disparaging. And he says to him, he says, in the name of Shmuel, Kalaim Esroinga, whoever uses the term Esroinga, that tilts, that means at least a third of him in Baram Esrucha, he speaks with arrogance. Either call it an esrig like you find Chazal referred to as an esrig, or esroiga, the Amriyinchi, or people colloquially they say esroiga. But who says esroinga? Nobody uses that term. Come on, go and drink some anagva. So what exactly is anavga? Rashi says that this was a morning drink that people used to go and drink in the mornings, like coffee, exactly. Four lines from the bottom, Zukrashi, anavga. Kois shu revias, the size of the kois revias, where you regin lishtois kois echad min mashke ha'osui lishtoisoi shachris. In the mornings, everybody used to go and drink, that was the morning drink, v'kareyu, and the Gemara Brachas called it asparagus. Not related to what we call the vegetable asparagus, but that was the name of this drink. So this for he...
I used to have something in when I was trapped, something called Ovaltine.
Yeah. Ovaltine?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, delicious. Chocolate.
That was the morning drink.
Aha, okay. So he said, "Lishtimar anavgo, why don't you drink some anavgo? Omalei misani asparagus. The kayur rabbanon, the rabbanon called it asparagus. Oy anfik the amri inchi. That's how people say. Omalei next Taisi Doinag Tashkinan. Doinag was the name of his daughter. That's Rav Nachman's daughter. And he says, my daughter Doinag is going to come in and she's going to go and give you something to drink or something to eat or whatever. Amalei Hachir Mishvul. Ein Mishtamshin Beisha. You don't use as a waiter or a waitress a woman. Why? Because then she goes around and she schmoozes and all this, Chas V'Shalom, it could lead eventually to problems. And therefore, if you want a waiter, go and take a male. Don't go and take a female. So he said, "I'm not with Katana. He, come on, she's only a young girl. She's only 5 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old." Said Rav Yehuda, "Befeirish Omeshmul, ain mishtam shebiisha klal ben gedoy leben katana. This is a general rule. Light plug, even an 8 year old, even a 10 year old."
And the wife can't serve guests of comes to the house.
This is a, you know,
ain meshivan olas. Look at the Rambam. Look at the Zanya. There's a
okay. Nishadale Mar.
Yeah, you gotta rethink your whole.
Look
at the halacha. Does that mean?
Okay, let's continue on.
I help with.
Brother Shai, I'm not surprised. Where don't you help out? Anyway, Nishadale Mar Shalmalialtsa. I don't know why, but apparently Rav Nachman knew Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda must have known about the wife of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's wife was Yaltsa. He says, would you want me to go and send greetings to my wife, the Yaltsa? On Malay, Rav Yehuda was not at all impressed, and he said, Hachi Yamashmul, Koil B'Isha Erva. If I'm going to say anything to your wife, then she's going to have to respond, so I'm going to have to listen to her voice, and that in itself is Chas V'Shalom, Koil B'Isha Erva. She said, "Efshayi shliach, you don't have to speak to her directly. I'll send the shliach to go and send regards or greetings to my wife." You're not supposed to go and be shol b'shloim isha even through a shliach. If you look at the top Rashi, "Ein shal b'shloim isha shem mitoich she'ela shalom." If he's going to go and send greetings, you regilim ze imze ayidei shlucham v'yavoy lidei chiba. After all, it's nice. You send greetings. She's going to send greetings back. And after that, he's going to send the Rosh Hashanah cards. And she's going to send them happy birthday cards. And who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what this could all lead to? So therefore, Shalom Bishloim Isha. So he said, Ayyadebala, what about through me? I'll be the Shliach. I'm going to be the one that will give the greetings. After all, you don't have to worry about me. You know, I'm going to be the Amalayachim Mishmul. Ain't Shalom Bishloim Isha Klal. Even through the husband, don't do it. Because it could lead to Chiba like we had in the Rashi before. Rashi says on the third line, "In she'al b'shlam yisha klal, shemargal liba v'dayta etzlay." He's margal liba, then she's going to start thinking about him, and he's going to think about her. Oh, he sent me greetings. How come he sent me greetings? Isn't that nice? And blah, 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 blah. And one thing can lead to another, and sinishgit. Remember, he was the son-in-law of the Reish Kalusa, yeah. So Reish Kalusa
was a student of Rav, wasn't he? He was a student of Rav.
There was no question of being Tamar.
You should go around Bogel and done Mamanos for everybody.
Say you shouldn't say, send someone's reading to his wife and say, how's the family?
Oh, exactly.
How's your house? How's your bed?
How's the family?
Exactly. That's a nice way of saying.
We're all doomed. That's what we're saying.
What we're saying is we're going to continue on. Sholchalei debisu. Sholchalei debisu. Shorilei tagrei. Talinishvuch. Kishar amaretz. So now, the debisu, the wife of Rav Nachman, that's Yaltsa, who we refer to, she must have learned this Gemara, or she heard behind Me'achori HaPargud what's going on. So she said, Shirley Tigra, you know what? My dear husband, instead of continuing this dialogue and saying things that he's going to criticize you, the best thing is, let's go and take care of this Torah, this Din Torah, listen to his tainus, listen to the other guy's tainus, and send them off. Shorlei Tigrei, Tlinit Nashvach. Otherwise, he's going to eventually make you into Gishar Am Oretz. People think, it's an Am Oretz, Agunish. So, you know, let's get it over with, let him go home.
People ask who gave you
smicha. Exactly.
Wasn't he also the one who kicked this servant rebellion who was.
She's one who wanted to eat milk and meat. They gave her.
No, but also she didn't. It was whatever.
Anyway, so the Gemara says, finish off the detainers. Oh, Malay. My shai did the mar hochas. And Rav Nachman says to Rav Yehuda, how come you're visiting? What are you doing here? Amalei, what do you mean? Tasked as menusa shod amar abasroi. You sent me a summons. That's why I'm here. Amalei, so now Rav Nachman says to Rav Yehuda, hasha shuta demar loy gemena. I don't even know how to speak the very noble and purified way that you speak, the refined way that you speak, I sent you a summons? In other words, I can't believe it. It's obvious from our discussions that you happen to be a person of nobility and aristocracy, the way you talk, and you're obviously a great scholar. I sent you a summons? Yes.
But perhaps it wasn't a summons, it was a subpoena. That's why he had to go.
Okay. I'm not a lawyer anymore, so I really don't know the difference. Summons or subpoena?
I think a summons.
Summons you can ignore.
You pay a fine.
You pay a fine. Okay.
Right.
Mr. or Mrs. Well, I'm not supposed to ask about Mrs. Right. Yeah.
But I think it's more like a subpoena.
Okay, so I'm sorry.
I remember from 7 years ago.
Any of you who happen to be listening on the tape, whenever I said the word summons, delete it and put in the word subpoena.
This one, I think, is worthwhile pointing out.
Yes, please.
It's not simply Rabbi Yehuda and Nachman, but rather it's Naharda and Pumbedita. That Nachman is the head of Naharda, but who is his predecessor? Shmuel.
Exactly.
So all these questions that Rabbi Yehuda is saying is basically saying, I know Shmuel better than you do, and you're his successor. The next question is when Rav Nachman speaks, he's going to refer to Rav, who was the predecessor of Rabbi Yehuda in Pumbedita. So he's going to turn it around in certain extent.
Oh, very nice. Thank you, David. Thank you for giving us this geographic
jurisdictional
background and flavor for the whole story here. Shekoyach.
Google reminds us that
yes.
Galtos was in Brachas and Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. She broke 400 jugs of wine because she was insulted by someone. So
she's a firecracker.
Yeah. She was.
Okay, so let's continue on. So the Gemara says now Shekoyach for reminding us of that. That's very very important. Exactly. I can't even speak on the exalted way that you speak. I sent you a subpoena. And for the Gemara, Apik Diska Damanusim in Beichadya. So he took out of his pocket, he took out the summons or the subpoena. He says, yeah, read it. V'achvile. Omalei, ho gavro hadeska. You see, it says here in the subpoena, my name. This is me, that's Rav Yehuda, but this is the subpoena that you sent to me. So apparently what Rav Nachman was saying was, had I realized that this subpoena was sent to you, I never would have sent it, because I realize that you are a greater scholar than me. It's obvious from this whole conversation. And so therefore, if this person had a complaint, he should have taken this complaint to a more superior court than myself. Is Omalei Hoyvos and Malahocha? But once you hear ready, Lishtoy Bili. No, so let's hear what you have to say, and let's go through the entire. Get Hechadloy Leimru that people should not say Mechanvi Rabbanah Adodi. This is something Ariel said about 15 minutes ago.
That,
exactly. So otherwise, what people will say, one rabbi has a dintur in front of the other rabbi, he automatically favors him, and therefore there's favoritism in the courts and his pastish and shgit. So let's hear what you have to say, and let's go and adjudicate this case. Amalei. So apparently he had already heard from the other fellow, and he asked him, now, my time is shamti ma'ala
hu gav. That's illegal.
You cannot hear from one. The Gemara knew that we have to finish within 59 minutes and 59 seconds, so therefore the Gemara leaves out certain pieces. So apparently they were both present, and apparently the other person had already spoken and told him, Rav Nachman, you know what, he put me in Chayrim. So now he asked him, my time is Shamtim Alu Gavu, why'd you put him in Chayrim? He says, Tzir Shlichad Rabbanan. He went and it was Mitzayim, my Shlichad Rabbanan, meaning my Shamiz. And he caused him all types of hardship and headaches, and he aggravated him by saying, "Oh, Yehuda Bashviskel," and all that. Suzukti v'nagdi mar. Why don't you go and give him pech? Nagdi solosha of malchus instead of putting him in chayim. The Rav Mangel Mandem Mitzar Shluch Rabbanan. This is what David was telling us before, that he's going to quote Rav instead of Shmuel, etc. I'm sure you all remember what he said. Anyway, v'nagdi mar. Why don't you put him in Malkus? Give him Malkus, Rabban, get him on him, Tzara, Shluchad Rabban. That's what Rav would do. He'd give him Makkus Mardis if a person was Mavayish, the Shluchad Rabbanan. And for the more, the Odef Bnei Avdilei, I did something even better. In other words, I thought that he deserved more than just Malkus, so I did something better. I put him in Chayr. My time, Achaz Mar Alei de Abdul, why did you go and say that he's an Eved? Because he used to call other people avadim. But to me, and we learned back in the Amud Aleph, and that's how we got into this story in the first place.
Projection in psychology.
Exactly. Before you came, we were projected already that that's what you were going to say, and therefore we already made the prediction about that projection. We already had that comment on the Amud Aleph.
So, Rabbi Bar Yecheskel is calling this bad guy an Eved? Is that this last line of dialogue is a little bit murky to me.
Back on the Omer Aleph, we had that they informed Rav Yehuda that that individual who had shamed and humiliated the Shamas of Rav Yehuda, that he frequently called people Avodim. So then he made a hachrozi, he proclaimed about that individual that he's an Eved. So now we're asking, why did you proclaim about him that he happens to be an Eved? He says, because I was told on good authority that he calls other people of Adam. But Tony, we learn a person who passels others, not only himself is passel, but he passels with his own mum. So if he calls other people of Adam, that means he must be an Eved. When Shmuel said that the mumay paisel, he didn't mean that you should go make achrozah, put up, posters. Oh, thank you. Throughout town, he just meant that you have to be choishes that he probably is also an avid because he calls other people of Adam. Lachruzia leimi Omar. Did he go and say you can make an official rabbinical proclamation that the person is an avid? Adahachi v'hachi. As all of this was ongoing, omalei hahu bardine l'Rav Yehuda. The Bardin, in other words, this Haugavra, who we've never identified by name, as all of this dialogue is ongoing, he says to Yehuda, "Lididika recently avda, you are calling me an Eved? Dasin beis Chashmonai Malka, I'm royalty. I stem from beis Chashmonaim." Oh, boys, he really, he put his foot in it. Anybody that says that I comes from Chashmonaim, he's an Eved. And the Gemara tells us, well, we're going to get back to this in a moment. Omalei, so he said to him, don't you remember what Rav said? If this is a halacha that you had said previously, and now you want to requote it, that's fine. But if you on this spot said this halacha in the name of Shmuel, he happens to be an Eved, that you're just making it up on the spot, and that it's really not true.
But Shmuel, he's saying the name of Shmuel, clearly said it earlier than this. Who's saying he's quoting Shmuel?
But apparently this was not well known in the name of Shmuel, okay. And now, because otherwise this how Gavra wouldn't go and proudly say, I'm Beis Chashmonoi, and ignore what Shmuel said. So apparently this was not well known, so now either the Dayan or that Hahugavra is challenging now Rav Yehuda and said, if you had previously issued a newsletter a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, saying this halacha of Shmuel, that would be great. We never heard this from you before. So maybe you're just making it up on the spur of the moment. That's what they were challenging. So says the Gemara, if he said it previously, then we listen. Because it could be a new psak that he just came up with. So says Rav Yehuda, Iker Rav Masna Dekoi Kavasi. I wasn't the only one that heard this from Rav. If you ask Rav Masna, he'll be able to tell you that that's what Rav said. Now the Gemara tells us, interestingly, Rav Masna Lechazel Nehedo Tleis Hashani. For 13 years, Rav Masna had not been in Nehedo. Pink that day, Hu Yoyim Asa, that day Rav Masna came in, he comes to Nehedo. It's Omalei, Dochir Mar, Mai Omashavos. Obviously this shows tremendous siyata d'shmaya and tremendous hashkocha proteus. The Kodesh Baruch Hu was there at this story, and he heard, Rav Masna is missing. Rav Masna, come to Nehedo today to go and attest to the fact that Shmuel said this a long, long time ago. It's Omalei, Dochir Mar, Mai Omashavos. Do you remember what Shmuel said about the space Chashmonoi? He koi, when he was standing chodekara aguda, with one foot on the surface. Rashi says guda means like on the side of the river. The chodekara b'mebra, and the other foot was either on, Rashi says, either on the bridge or on the ferry. So in other words, Shmuel at that particular moment had one foot here and one foot there as he was about to put his foot on the ferry or on the bridge. What did he say at that time? So Masa says, of course I remember. He is an Eved. And Shmuel continued on. From the entire base Chashmonoim, there was only one soul that was that survived, and who that? A Rabisa. Rabisa means a young girl. The Salkal Igran, she went all the way up to the top of the roof. Veram Yikola, and she screamed out, "Viyamra, call the Amar Beis Chashmonoim Avdo." Anybody that says from Beis Chashmonoim, they're Havodim, because I'm the only survivor left from that whole mishpacha. Naflam Igran, and then she fell off the roof. Umisa Nebuch, she passed away. So Achra Zalei, so then they were machers about him, the Avdahu, that this person happens to be an Eved. In other words, this is already now the Psak of the Din Torah, based on this Psak of Shmuel, as recounted not only by Rav Yehuda, but also by Rav Masna. They said, no, Oy Bazoi, since he's passing everybody else. And he says about himself that he's based Chashmenoi, Muzduch Zayin, that he's an Eved, and therefore he's Taken Eved. Hayu Yoim, on that day, Yikaren Kamek Suvasa ben Edo. There were many ksubais that were torn up and ripped up that day in Edo. Why was that? Says Rashi, because many people had married into that fellow, that who gavres mishpacha, figuring they're marrying into royalty, and now they find out they're marrying into slavery, and therefore many people gave gittin to their wives, and they didn't have to bother paying for the ksuba because it was a mekach tois.
And their children from these unions, if they existed, were
mamzerim. It would be well. Depends.
We don't hold that.
It's not so simple. It depends whether it was a girl, whether it was a boy. You go after him. You go after her.
Right.
Okay. But anyway, continuing on. Kikonofik, as Rav Yehuda is now finally leaving the Bezen Shtibel, going home to his hometown. Nafke Basri the Mirgamate, then a whole bunch of people from these mishpachis who were related to that Ha'u Gavra, who have now been branded Avodim instead of royalty, they were quite upset and they wanted to go and throw stones at him. They wanted to stone him. Amalus, he said to them, Chevra, Ish Tiku Shtika, if you're going to be quiet and silent, is good. Viloy, if not, Maglina Laichu, Hodeo Meshmuel, I'm going to now go and reveal what Shmuel said. What did Shmuel say? Tarti Zaraisa Ikben Edo. Zaraisa, says Rashi, means mishpachis. There are two families in Edo. Chodem Mekari de Beyoina, one mishpach is called from the Bnei Yoina, or Chodem Mekari de Bei Orvisi. Now, of course, this is referring back to yesterday's laning in Parshas Noyach. That's the connection to the Parsha. The Simonech and the Simon to remember is Tomei Tomei Tohar Tohar. In other words, the Beyoina people, those are, Baruch Hashem, people that are pure. They are pure in Yichus. People that are called the Bnei Oyiriv, unfortunately, Tamei Tamei, these are people who are not Bnei Yichus. And apparently, this was not known outside the Mishpachis. This was not known generally. So he said, if you're going to be quiet, it's good. If you're not going to be quiet, I'm going to tell everybody the secret about your families, that this group is the Bnei Yoyna people. These are Bnei Yoyna people, and people will know Tamei Tamei Tohar Tohar. As a result, when people heard that he knew all the secrets about their families, they figured, if we're going to go and throw one stone, it's going to be terrible. Shadyu Elohu Rigma Miyadayu, they took all the stones that they were holding in their hands, and they threw it into the river Malka. They come at Lebenor Malka. There were so many stones that each one of them threw into the river that it formed a dam in the river, and therefore the water was not able to flow any further.
Nevermore.
So what's the point of all of this? To go and say that the group that wanted to go and stone him were not just, three or five or ten guys. There must have been 1,000 of them. A mob, and they all threw now down the stones, and now they formed a temporary dam.
So we have the mob, now we have the mob.
Hey, give out. Shkoyach, thank you. That was such a beautiful comment. Zokti Morabaitim. Now, we're continuing on. Machrez Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda obviously was familiar with what was going on. And he was Machrez Mepobadisa, the Ada, the Yoinesin Avdi. The two people, Avda and the Ada and Yoinesin, maybe these were brothers. He said about the two of them that they happened to be Avodim. Yehuda Bar Papa is Mamzeira. He's Nebuchad Mamzer. Bati Bar Tuvia Beromus Rucha. Bati Bar Tuvia was a former Eved, and he was such an arrogant Eved, Lishokul Gitta Techerusa, when his Odoim freed him and said, here, I'm giving you the Get Shechrer, he said, you can keep the Get Shechrer, I'm not interested, and he ran out the door. So he never got a Get Shechrer, and so therefore legally he is still an Eved. So that's what he's saying here, Beromus Rucha, because of his arrogance, he never took the Get Techerusa, he's still an Eved. Machuz Rav Mechoiza, Now Rava announced in Mechayza, Baloi, Danoi, Taloi, Meloi, Zagoi, Kulun Lefsol. All of these mishpachas, these are names of either families, or Rashi says, Mekoimis of places. All those people that have that name, either from the Baloi family or lives in Baloi, all these guys are Lepsol, meaning that they have some sort of psol, either that they happen to be Halolim or they happen to be Mamzerim and the like.
I thought we said that yes. Baba was a...
There was many generations. Many generations.
Israel was Esad compared to Bavo.
So Bavo was the key of the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, and time of, this is 1,000 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Shai, it's 1,000 years later.
I know, but they, you think they'd keep it straight?
I think, but they didn't.
And where did Herod come from? He was a slave.
Exactly.
Virginia.
Exactly, Rabbi Yisrael, 100% right. I'm sure here in the United States in 1850, there was also very, very little assimilation between Jews and Goyim. However, by the year 2023, that things have changed since
then. They had a meeting of the I think it was the Temple Emmanuel founders of descendants, and of all of them, there were no Jews. 150, they found that. They had a commemoration. None of them are Jewish. They were all similar.
Where did you get these statistics from?
I heard this. I do not have a source, but I heard this this year.
Listen, Rashi, very grapevine.
Okay. Why?
Okay. No. It's a very shocking statement, and I'd like to have it substantiated. That's all.
Okay. I'll look it up. I'll see if I can locate a source for that. Thank you.
Quoted.
I'm saying.
I'm just saying. I wanted to know.
How many years ago they founded that thing?
So 150. Since you're telling these stories, if you will permit me, I'll share with you a story. This goes back with my first or second year as a lawyer. So now we're talking about more than 40 years ago. I was still a junior lawyer, and we had a major meeting on behalf of one of our clients, Mr. Cooper Smith, Olav Shalom, and he was a person that manufactured different types of boxes that were made in a very interesting way. I forget the name, and sorry, something that you were able to go and push a button and all folded up very, very nicely, and then you push another button, the thing opened up into a beautiful box. You push another button, then the whole thing folds. It has as soon as I mention the name, when I remember it, you'll all know that. Oh, of course, sure. Anyway, so at this meeting, they were trying to do a deal, and we had sitting next to me, there was a lawyer by the name of Mr. Temko. I was the corporate lawyer, and he was the patent and trademark lawyer, because this special way of making these boxes had a patent and trademark. Okay.
Fold-up cards.
Anyway, so we come to lunchtime. So now we sit together, and so now we start schmoozing. And he says to me, well, obviously, I see you must be Orthodox, because I see you're wearing your yarmulke. I said, right. So he says to me that his parents were Orthodox. His father came to this country 30 years ago, whenever it was. And because Hayas, at the time, I'm sure you all heard of Hayas, they didn't want to bring any more Jews to New York because there was a lot of anti-Semitism in New York. They said, let's go and scatter them throughout the country. And they sent us to Norfolk, Virginia. And Norfolk, Virginia, we had two congregations. We had the Orthodox congregation and we had the conservative. And he says, my father, who was Orthodox, he took out membership in the Orthodox, but he saw that his wife and his kids, they're not going to stay Orthodox, so he went and took out membership for them in the conservative. Okay. And then he tells me, and I say to him, your name is Mr. Temko, probably your father's name was Temkowitz. Yeah, how'd you know? Yeah, Temkowitz, and he shortened it. Okay, muffled. So he says, today, however, he no longer has this problem about having to select between the Orthodox and the conservative, because now he lives in a town in Connecticut, and this town in Connecticut only has one brand, and that's the Reform Bet Shalom. Okay, so he's talking. So now I say to him, tell me, do you have a problem of assimilation in your town? He says, yeah, unfortunately. Now this is going back more than 40 years ago, and he said about 75% of all the marriages in the community are intermarriage. But then he says to me, what I want you to know, we do it in a very easy way. What means an easy way? Because on the same block that we have the Bet Shalom congregation, the temple, we also have the St. Mary's Church, and therefore what they do is that either the ceremony is inside the tumah, inside the church, and then after that they have the dinner in the sanctuary of the shul, or the other way around, that they have the ceremony in the temple, and then they go over to St. Mary's Church for the dinner. Good. So now, I thought I already heard enough, and I was already ready to regurgitate. And now, for the zinger. It turns out that the chuppah v'kiddushin of the pastor, of the preacher, is better than that of the Reform rabbi, because it's always a joint ceremony. You know, the rabbi and the, I don't know who does the chuppah v'kiddushin, who does the sheva brachas, but it's the joint, the preacher together with the rabbi. So why am I saying that the preacher's chuppah v'kiddushin is better than the rabbi? Because the preacher, the pastor, the galach, is a former yeshiva bucher, the chmad, and he became a preacher and he became a galach. And the former rabbi is tam and amuretz, he doesn't know anything. Amuretz, the rice, the rabbanon. So Nebuch, the galach, is the former yeshiva bucher, and he's the one that does the hocus pocus. So that's America for you.
That's why Mr. Temple is thinking out of the boxes.
You're thinking out of the boxes.
Out of the box.
You always think out of the box. You're wonderful. Ah, I love you. Okay, anyway, continue on back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says now, Nochemul. That's what America looks like today. That's 40 years ago. You can imagine what it's today. We have a bungalow colony, as you know. I'm in a bungalow colony in Monroe, and there's a person that used to live in Monroe by the name Mr. Krieger. When he was younger, he used to attend the liberal reform temple in Monroe. Afterwards, years later, he became frum, and today he's a full bal tshuva and fine kinder. Wonderful. He recently met one of his old friends from the Altaheim, from that liberal reform temple. His name is Mr. Goldberg. And he said to Mr. Goldberg, "Nu, how are things in your temple?" He says, "Ooh, the pews are full." "Really, they're full?" "But they're full of goyim. All of them are goyim." He says, "There's no Jews left in the whole congregation. All of those that attend now in the prep, they daven in the shul, they're all nebuch goyim." I don't know if they have Shabbos or they have Mass on Sunday. Maybe they only come on Yom Kippur. Who knows? But they're all, he says, alegoy. So getting back to our Gemara now. So our Gemara now tells us about Umar of Yehuda. Right? We're up to Umar of Yehuda. Goyvoi givoi noi, durnunisa daroi nisinoi. He says, the people, the mishpuchas, or the name of the place, which is called Gaivoi, those are all full of Givoinim. Givoinim, as you recall, those are the Nesinim. Why were they called Nesinim? Because these Givoinim came from the seven Umas Oilam that were in Eretz Yisrael at the time, that Klai Yisrael was not allowed to allow them to live, like Chayekom Neshama. They went and dressed in tattered clothing as if they came from South Africa or from Australia. Yeshua made a bris with them, only to find out after that they were all phonies, and these are Taka from Eretz Canaan, from the Sheva Umais, these from the Givoinim, and he could have, if he wanted to say, the whole bris was Gunish, but we're worried about public opinion, that the social progressive media are going to say that the Jews don't keep their word, that they made a bond and a treaty, and then now they're going to break it, and they won't tell about the fact, by the way, the reason why they broke it, because these are Hashem Amin, and the whole thing was a fraud and a deception, they're not going to tell that, they're going to go and say, the Jews are who? Times of night, ain't kol chodesh tachas Hashem, everything remains the same. So it says that Yeshua or David HaMelech was goyzer leim nosnam lechoydfei eitzim ulesheavi moim, that they should have menial labor, and they were called the Sinim, and Klal Yisrael didn't have anything to do with them, basically, so they were considered to be inferior geirim. Bottom line is, these good voices, these are originally givoy noi, and the Dordanisa people, that's Doroi Nisinoi. Doroi means the town, it's a town of Nisinim. So he said, all these guys, the Gavoy guys and Dornanisa guys, these are all in the scene. Umar of Yosef, hai Beikuvi de Pompadisa kulim de Avdi. The people that live in Beikuvi are the people that are called Beikuvi. Rashi says it's a kfar, a samach of Pompadisa. So there's a little town next to Pompadisa, which is called Beikuvi, they're all Avad. Umar Yidom Mishmul, Arameis Avodim, Amrila Arbas, Alofim Avodim, Hoyulul Pashchar ben Amar. Pashchar ben Amar, says Rashi, was a person who lived in the times of Yermia Hanovi. He had 400 avadim or 4,000 avadim. The kulam, over time, all of them nitma'u b'kahuna. They all mixed in and assimilated among kohan. How were they able to go and assimilate among kohan? The answer is, says Rashi, because since they were avdei kohanim, they were able to eat truma. So whenever kohanim got together, they always sat at the table with them and they would eat the truma. So people assumed, oh, they must be kohanim, how could they eat truma? But they were avadim of kohanim. So eventually they all intermarried, and therefore the kohanim now are full of these former avadim.
This is Truma's Rabbanah, though, because they were in Chutz Lawrence, right?
It's Truma's Rabbanah.
We had yesterday.
Yeah, but that was going to the base of
Avoda,
but
didn't say...
So this is in Bavel. So if it's in Bavel, it's... Why, Yirmiyahu? Was he in Bavel?
No, but
Ashkim, the name of the time of Yermia, says Rashi. Anyway, the bottom line is, these were Avodim, and they now intermarried with the Kahanim. For Chol Koyin, Shiesh by Aziz Panim. Anytime you see a Koyin with an Aziz Panim, that was a Chutzpinik, any Olam Ahem, he stems from the original Avodim. Amrabaya, Kulu Yasvin, Beshuradim Nerdo. If you go to Shur Nerdo, you'll find that all of them are sitting there in that Shura. Not exactly clear what Shura means. On the side, you have a Girs in that Shura. But rather, Yud says the Masorah Shishas, Besuria Ubenerdo. If you go to Surya Nerdo, we're full of these Kahanim that were former Avodim. In other words, it was a Chutzpinix. The word Shura, the Nerdo, on a simple level, could mean that you go into a shul and you look to the front row, who the Chushava people. So he's saying they all sat up front, all these Kahanim, and these were all a bunch of Aziz Penema, all a bunch of Chutzpinix, because they all came from Avodim. Anyway, complete their blood. Pligid Rablozer, this argument Rablozer, the Omer Rablozer, Imre Isa Koyin Ba'aziz Meitzach, Al Tahar Achrav. If you go and see a Koyin that has chutzpah, he's arrogant, don't be Mahar that maybe he's from Avarim. Shenemet says in the Pasi, the Amcha Kimarivi Koyin. This is in the DNA of the Kahanim that they sometimes get a little bit tzehitzed, a little bit excited. So they're excitable individuals, and not necessarily. Yes?
Insolent. I think the term would be insolent.
Insolent? Okay. How would you define the word insolent?
Well, insolent means uppity, maybe.
Uppity, okay.
Haughty.
Arrogant people. Okay, thank you very much, Shlomo. Insolent, arrogant, and haughty people. Good. Amr of Avim Barav Ad, Baruch Hashem, I'm not a coin, so I don't have to worry about it.
It sounds like Rav Nachman talking here with all this fancy words here.
Okay. Amr of Avim Barav Ad, Amr Rav, call a nice ishish. Somebody, Levi, Zam Moichel, please put yourself on mute, Levi. Yeah, thank you. Omer of Oven Bar Rav Adam Rav, Kol Nois Ishu Shene, again, a slowly person who marries a woman that's not against. Now we had already in the Omer Aleph Rashi said a psul, some psul yuchzin. Kishir Borchu, Masha Shchinosa, when Borchu is showed his Shchina here among Klai Yisrael, Meir Okol HaShvatim Meir Olav, Kishir Borchu is only Masha Shchina on the Shvatim, in other words, those that are clean in their yichus, and no, not those that have clouds in the yichus. Shem says, "Bosu shifte ka edus li Yisrael." Amos, I have the edus li Yisrael. When do we have edus li Yisrael? That these are taki Yisrael. Bizman sheshvatim shifte ka the shvatim shifte ka the rabbi Yisraelim to shbochem mashashchina. And you remember the Rashi brings in as a parshas Pinchas where you have the mishpachas hashiftim, mishpachas hapaluim, mishpachas this, and Rashi says the hey. And the Yud, that's the Meyed, and the Yud Kei, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, yeah, there are my Shvatim. Om Rav Chomer Rav Chanina, Kishik Vod Baruch Hu Masha Chanasa, Yim Masha Ela Mishpachas Miyuchasa Shem Yisrael, Shenema Ba'isa Hi Nu Mashem Eya Lekim Lechol Mishpachas Yisrael, Lechol Yisrael Leinema El Lechol Mishpachas. So those Mishpachas which are Miyuchasas, Miyuchasas doesn't mean necessarily that they're great Yichas, it just means that there's no Psul, they're Kosher Mishpachas. And they will be for me for a nation. That's the end of that possibility. Yes, naturally born Jews have one advantage over Gerim. It says in the posse. So Rashi says that if you have a Yid that Nebuch needs a little Kiruv, for Yisraelam Lelakim, I'll be Makar of him and bring him back and be his God. Vehema, and then they eventually, as a result of that Kirov, Yuliliam. So therefore, we have the Sarisa Deli'ela before the Sarisa Delasata. Kadosh Baruch Hu makes the first move, so to speak. He's Makar of them, and then they'll Yuliliam. A ger, on the other hand, he has to first make the first move. If he's going to be Yisraelim Liam, then when I'll be a god for that. So therefore, we have one advantage, so to speak, since we're from birth, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, not from birth, but Jewish from birth, Kodesh Baruch Hu is Makar of us, while Begerim, they have to make that first initial move towards Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Sometimes they become stronger.
Yeah, in fact, that's the next Gemara. Om Reb Chelbay, Koshim Gerim Li Yisrael Kisapachas. Now, on the simple level, the way Rashi learns, is that the Gerim, when they are added to Klal Yisrael, they're like a sapachas. A sapachas, as we'll see in the Gemara in a moment, that's one of the forms of leprosy, of Taras. Shemit says in the Pasuk, Nilva Hager Aleihem, they will, the word Nilva, like a Lashon Levoya, they'll escort us. The Nisbechu means like there'll be an adjunct, a supplement, Al Beis Yaakov. Ksivachim Nisbechu, Ksivachim Laseis Vasapachas Vala'bahores, which are names of the various tzarasim. So therefore, their joining Klal Yisrael is like a tzaras. No, that's not a nice thing. What does that mean that they join like a sort of? So you look at the last Rashi. Koshim gerim she'enem zehirim b'mitzvahs. After all, the gerim, they don't know all the mitzvahs. V'regilim etzlam nemshochem etzlam v'loim mimen ma'aseim. I find an erlich ger who davened in shul, and I say, look what a tzaddik is, what a fine person he is. And then he goes home, and he turns on the lights, he turns off the lights, he cooks, he doesn't cook. Not because Chas Shalom is a bad guy, he's an erlich, real. He just doesn't know. He didn't go to cheder, after all, he's a ger. So I go to his house, and I see he turns on and off the lights, he doesn't care about it. I assume that's probably the proper mode of conduct. I'm sorry?
To be a ger, he has to go to a test with the rabbis.
Everything you said is correct, but they don't give him a full feher on the entire four Chalki Shulchan Aruch. They ask him the basics. So we see that he knows. So if turning on and off the lights is not a good example, put away that example. But afterwards, happens if you see that he's carrying an umbrella on Shabbos, and you say, "Oh, I didn't know. Did not look. It's raining. Isn't that much what you're supposed to do? I want to protect my shtreimel. I want to protect my clothing." So you're going to go and say, right. "It's an oil." I see people opening up the baby carriages. I saw people opening up the awnings to their roofs. That's a much bigger avoider than my just opening up an umbrella. This is maybe it's a bad example, but the point is that you learn from Gerim that they just don't know. They're wonderful people. They don't know. So that's why they cause us problems, because we Jews learn from them, and that's the tzaras. Yes.
That the tzapachas, because they are aduk, and they are from, and they do beyond what's necessary.
Beautiful.
And they stick to us.
And therefore, it doesn't look good on those who are... who don't take Yiddishkeit as seriously as we should.
Very good. So that's a beautiful pshat from Brother Shai. And Brother Shai's pshat was said by none other than Reb Avrohom Hager. He himself was a ger. He learned this Gemara, and he was a little bit turned off, if you will, by the Gemara. So you have an interesting choice. It starts here on Amud Beis, continues on to Amud Aleph. But Reb Avrohom Hager is here on Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, five lines into the choices. Reb Avrohom Hager, Pirish. They do a greater diktuk in the mitzvahs than some of our born Jews. It's the other way around. This is like Brother Shai was just saying a moment ago, and that is, Baruch Hu says to a person that was born as a Jew, how come you're talking during davening? Don't you see this ger? He's brand new. He was a goy until 6 months ago. And he's careful. He says every word. He doesn't talk during davening. He doesn't talk during laning. And what are you doing? So that's the sapachas of Roma ger, that we're much more medactic than the regular Jews. And so therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu now is a taina on his Jews. You have to be Enoch Levarim Yitzvah Yaakov. You learned by Moshe Rabbeinu. You got the Torah in Har Sinai. And that's the way you do the Torah. And this fellow who happens to be an Enikul of somebody else, and he became a ger, and he does everything the diktuk, you should do the same thing. So obviously the two ways of learning this Gemara, the way Rashi learned, as well as Rav Avraham Hager, and Tosis has other pshatim as well, Ayin Sham. Have a wonderful day. Zag Yibet, see you well, everybody.
The two dots?
No, we're stopping over here. Okay.